Aidan Mullen from Interface Carpets, you're a global company, you produce carpets in Australia. Can you talk about the relevance of circular thread to you?
For the 40-odd years we've been manufacturing in Australia, one of our main aims has been to reduce our environmental impact. And a big part of that is actually recycling our product at end of life. So we do take our carpet back and we reprocess that into new carpet, new yarn.
The circular economy is a bit of a buzzword, but can you completely close that loop?
Look, ideally everyone wants to close the loop. In other words, if you're looking at textiles that take old garments and convert them into new garments, and then those garments at the end of life, convert them back into new garments again. Really, at the end of the day, this is very difficult to do, and you will always have to have inputs from outside that cycle and outputs from the cycle as well. As regards carbon footprint, you have to be very conscious of this, because in some cases the recycling can have a bigger environmental impact than actually manufacturing from virgin raw materials.
Your company has a Mission Zero projection and plan to have by 2020. So talk to me about how you're going to achieve that and what it means, I guess, on the factory floor.
Look, the circular economy is one part of our journey towards Mission Zero. Ideally, the aim is to have no negative impact on the environment. Therefore, you must reduce your carbon footprint. Recycling your product, having an end-of-life solution for it, is very much part of that, but not the only part. So by 2020, our intention would be that we would have cut our addiction to the petroleum products that we require to produce our product. We would be 95% bio-based and recycled content in our products. We'd have reduced our environmental footprint, our carbon footprint, by 80%. And there are quite other factors there as well. We will be on, at that stage, 87% renewable energy. So these are all elements of achieving Mission Zero. And what we're finding now as we get closer to 2020, that it's not just about doing no harm. We have to go further on that and start looking at having a positive impact on the environment.
How is that financially viable? You're trying to run a business at the same time. How do you do that?
Look, I think our CEO and founder, Ray Anderson, coined it very well. We're doing well by doing good. And we have found that the efficiencies that we have gained in our journey towards Mission Zero have compensated for the costs of implementing new technologies like our recycling re-entry program, renewable energy. Currently, we are 100% green electricity at our Minto site, but there's a cost to that. But because we're trying to reduce our environmental impact, we're getting energy savings in other areas by reducing our energy imprint.
There's criticism from time to time of big companies that are doing sustainable, they're running sustainable operations within the companies themselves, and they're often accused of greenwashing. Is that a temptation that you can bamboozle the customer with greenwashing jargon and not actually be doing anything in the real world on the factory floor?
Look, absolutely, and I think this is probably one of the big obstacles for us to get across, that we're actually bona fide about our intention here. And greenwash is something we really do avoid. For instance, all our products would be covered by environmental product declarations. These are third-party verified scientific data which shows what our actual environmental impact is. So if anybody wants to know what we're doing impact-wise, they can look those up. They're on the website. A third party is actually publishing them for us. We're not too concerned about that, because I think at the end of the day, our clients, our customers, our employees and our suppliers are very clear on our intentions and understand that we mean business when we talk about reducing our impact.
Your customers are mostly commercial rather than domestic, so I'm wondering, are they prepared to pay a premium for your product?
Look, I think as time has gone on, I mean, certainly a few years ago, people would not have paid a premium for the product, whether sustainable or not. People are always looking for good quality, good service and best price. I think that is changing, but I think what's also changing as well is that it doesn't always cost extra to be sustainable. And I think our clients are seeing that as well.
Does it cost your company, though? If you're having to pay for 100% of renewable energy, that's a big hit to your hip pocket and to your bottom line.
Look, it certainly is, and our factory here in Sydney went on 100% green electricity last year. That's after 2 years in construction. That was at considerable cost, and that's a reflection on the poor investment on renewable energy in this country. But I don't see that as being a cost that we'll have to bear forever. I think that cost will come down. But we see it as part of our remit to reduce our impact, and therefore we're going to go on green electricity.
Looking at the turnover of the company, your profitability, where have you been in the last sort of 15, 20 years, and what's your trajectory profit-wise over the next generation?
Look, we're a very profitable company. We're a global company. We have manufacturing facilities in the USA, in Europe, China, Thailand, and of course here in Sydney. And we actually manufacture our carpet here. We are doing good business, and we would see ourselves diversifying on our product range as the years go forward, and doubling basically our profitability.
So you're a million-dollar business at the moment?
We're a billion-dollar business at the moment.
That's globally?
Globally, of course. Okay. So we're by no means a large corporate, but we're a very profitable operation. I do love the carpet. I think it's a fantastic product that we make. It's not what gets me out of bed in the morning. I think it's the purpose behind this company. This is a company that designs for life, and for me that's important.